This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect.
With Stink Eye Dave.
You're listening to GRE with Triple D, Devin, David,
like a
and Bose.
Villain.
David's formerly known as Stink Eye Dave now here in the studio. Before we left for the break, we were just going over some 7 used cars and that you do not want to buy with your tax returns. Please do not be fooled by the allure of a cheap price of a car that looks clean because nobody's driven it since it came off the...
Since the previous owner begged the dealership
please
to buy it
from. Came off the dealership parking lot.
And they pressure washed the engine so you can't see all the...
Yes, it's very bad. But now continuing with local news with Devin.
So we got we talked about the Alzheimer's treatment that's coming down here. And this is actually pretty cool because, you know, my step-grandfather, he actually passed away from Alzheimer's. And a lot of, you know, my wife's grandmother, she currently has dementia. And there's a lot of things that, you know, people suffer from. It's really sad because, you know, you have these people that you've known all your life. You know, and they're very near and dear to your hearts. And, you know, you walk in one day and they look at you and they don't recognize you. They don't realize that it's Stink Eye Dave. That's
I can't, you know, I can't imagine dealing with that. You know, someone, a loved one that it's, you know, such a huge part of your life, and all of a sudden they just don't know who you are. You know, I can't imagine having to deal with that.
So so in Australia, the researchers basically have come across a non-invasive ultrasound technology. It basically clears the brains of neurotoxic amyloid plaques, and that's a lot of big words for basically that these are the structures that are responsible for the memory loss and a decline in cognitive function in Alzheimer's patients. So basically, they've come across this treatment, basically what happens is these the amyloid plaques and the neurofiber triangles, they're found inside the neurons of the brain, and they're caused by they basically get really thick and they become a mass, and they go in between your cognitive brain cells, in which you start to lose memory function.
What are you guys doing?
It's a lot of picture taking going on in the studio.
Like a little
for the listeners
studio.
That are unaware, eventually we will have a webcast up, but right now we're just taking pictures.
Posting pictures.
We're posting. We're in phone mode. This is what we call phone mode. Okay, we're listening to the story.
So we're talking about cognitive function and how that's lost.
Right.
And plaque buildup that Crest cannot take away.
That's right. Crest cannot do anything about this plaque in your brain. But evidently, this therapeutic ultrasound, it's a non-invasive beam, sound waves into the brain tissue. By oscillating super fast, these sound waves were able to gently open up the blood-brain barrier, which is the layer that protects the brain against the bacteria and stimulates the brain's microglial cells to activate. And basically, these are waste removal cells, so they're able to clear out the toxic beta. So anyway, so they're able to perform these functions in these in the mice that they're testing these on. And so the mice that have Alzheimer's, they were able to do this test on, and they were able to go through and navigate where before they weren't able to navigate the maze. They weren't able to go find the cheese. Now they're able to navigate the maze. They're able to remember the trace back, how to find the cheese. They're able to get back their memory. And so they're going, so now they're taking this test and they're going to, you know, bigger animals. So like they're going to be, you know, monkeys and other animals that have Alzheimer's. And then hopefully they're going to be testing this out on regular trials on humans. In 2017.
How cool would that be if you're a patient and you've been living with it? Because they always say they're there. They're there.
They're there. They're somewhere in there.
And next thing you know, they have this new drug, and all of a sudden their memory comes back. I mean it's just amazing.
It'd be phenomenal. I mean, there's tons of different new drugs that's coming out that can help. I mean, if you're, you know, back in, you know, 80s and 90s, if somebody had HIV or AIDS or something like that, I mean, it was a death sentence. You know, now they have treatments and drugs that basically just make it, that basically are able to combat it.
Well, look at Jimmy Carter, who just underwent treatment, and he is now cancer-free in the brain.
Yeah.
You know, so with a new drug like what you're talking about there for Alzheimer's.
Well, I mean,
so
this isn't even a drug. This is just ultrasonic sound waves that's being done. It's
a bat
very
signal.
Non-invasive.
It's a new treatment.
Yeah.
It's a bat signal.
So, first of all,
I got to back up here a little bit. So animals can get Alzheimer's?
Beep. Animals can get Alzheimer's. Yeah.
How about that?
If you have a brain, you can get Alzheimer's.
Obviously.
I mean, you can lose cognitive function of your brain. I mean, that's just, and that's it.
Well, that's cool. Hopefully, that's a breakthrough. That
that would be.
Now,
that would be
let's talk about it from Donald Trump's perspective. Okay, well, we don't win anymore. Now Australia is creating better drugs than we are.
If he was a doctor, he'd have beat it already.
Yeah, we would already beat him. We're throwing so much money.
Evidently, there's a lot of bedwetting liberals that have Alzheimer's because they can't seem to have that good cognitive function of thinking clearly, like on this this wonderful gun control matter and all this other kind of stuff. But that's we'll save that story for another day because that'll take a little too long.
Listen, I don't want to have to cry on the radio. So.
But you know, speaking of
please don't do that, Obama.
Speaking of Donald Trump. Speaking of Donald Trump. There's a state park that he donated in New York.
He donated the land.
He donated the land.
Okay. They built a park.
It was a $100 million park that he donated to New York State. And so because it was his land and he donated the park, it is called the Donald J. Trump State Park. Right? That would just make sense, right? You donated the park.
You owned it. You donate it.
You donate
it. You get your name on it.
So
sounds like a plan.
There's two liberal lawmakers up in upstate New York to introduce the Anything But Trump Act. Mm-hmm. And it would basically remove the name and the signs from a closed 440-acre park in Westchester County. They claim that these two assemblymen, that Trump's anti-Muslim rhetoric is so horrible that even the sight of the man's name will cause the vapors. Trump donated the land 10 years ago after a planned golf course fell through. 4 years later, budget cuts forced the closing of the park, but it's still a state park. It's still got his name on it, and it's still there. So the assemblyman, Charles Levine, who sponsored the Anything But Trump Act, has some ideas on which they should rename the park after. Levine of Long Island suggests the state rename the park for Peter Salem, a Muslim Revolutionary War soldier from Massachusetts who fought in battles in New York State. Other suggestions
because everybody knows who he is.
Oh, yeah. Other suggestions include folk singer and activist Pete Seeger.
Is he a Muslim?
Yeah. So the rhetoric and discriminatory proposals we've seen from Donald J. Trump won't belong to the presidential election, and we don't belong in the New York State parks. He has dishonored the state and should not be honored with a state park named for him. So here's my solution.
He donated the land.
Here's my solution. God. If you don't want a state park named after the man who gave the land and the stuff to New York State, just give the damn land back. Just give it back to him. You don't want it? You don't want his name on it? Give it back.
Oh, I think that he has a legal right for that too. So if they're and here's the crazy part. Are they actually going to have any kind of legal avenue to get this done?
And this is exactly what he said.
They are in New York.
So Donald Trump goes on and says Donald Trump has a solution. He says if they want, they can give me the land back.
Yeah. Hey, just give it back to me.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. You give me the land back, I'll take the sign down.
No, he's going to leave the sign up.
No, I'll take it down. I would turn it. I don't know where this is in the area or what's around, but I would turn it into the most annoying. I'd put an airport on it. I'd put a regional airport on it and just piss everybody off. Because that's just how I do things.
I say just, there's a down south, we've got a lot of things going on here in Georgia, which is phenomenal because, we're like the new Hollywood. You got a lot of movies going on. We've got a huge shipping port down in Savannah that's recently been completed. We have the world's busiest airport. We just had like our 100 millionth passenger or something like that come through Hartsfield, which they awarded them a new Nissan Altima and a bunch of other cool stuff.
At least it wasn't a Mazda Millennia.
Well, right. The 100 million. But down in South Georgia, they're also looking at building a spaceport.
Oh, wow.
So they can launch commercial rockets and things like that into space, along with they're looking at Texas and some of these other places.
I mean, I can see it now. About 10 years from now, call Jim up. Yo, man, what's up? Where you going? What are you doing? Oh, man, we're taking a trip to the moon. Should be back in about a week and a half. We'll call you when we get there.
Bring me some cheese.
Where are you doing that? South Georgia, man. You had to see. They got their new rockets up. Me and Tammy taking a trip, man.
Yeah, but commercial spaceport, man. I mean, Georgia's coming up. We're coming up in this world. We're no longer just We're no longer this little hick state that carries around Confederate flags and drives big trucks.
Well, we still do that.
We're getting the spaceport.
That all still goes on.
That still happens.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Have you
rode around downtown Monroe?
Nothing like putting your Rebel battle flag on the back of your Nissan Titan.
That's right.
America. America.
All right. Well, that's local news. Local news is dead.
Local news is dead.
Local news is dead. We're done.
Well, there you go.
That's it.
Is it time? Is it that time for sports already?
Local,
is
it's local national?
Is it that time already? Local, national.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Because he's a good guy at sports.
Wow. Thank you, Devin.
The sports doctor.
That was unexpected. Hello, everyone.
Hi. So, I'm Jim. I like long walks through the refrigerator at night.
You stole that from somewhere.
I pee down my legs so I don't wake my wife up.
At least I'm not a front wiper.
Okay, let's just move forward.
Where are we going with this?
Let's
sports.
Move
that reminds me of sports. Wednesday, Major League Baseball had the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Anybody keep up with that at all?
I did not. I didn't even know it was happening.
Yes, it happened.
I'm terribly ashamed.
And you should. You could still see it through one eye, so no excuses. So Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza were inducted into the Hall of Fame.
All right.
And for those of you like me who remember when Ken Griffey Jr. came in and the rookie card.
I still have it.
I should have sold that baseball card a long time ago.
Well,
it would have been worth a lot more.
Everyone's hoping now that he's in the Hall of Fame. It might go up a little bit.
Yeah, but it's only worth like $3 or $4.
Hey, it used to be like 45 bucks.
Patience in another 30 to 40 years,
dude,
it might be worth 10.
I've been patient for 22 years.
Gotta wait.
Sometimes.
Give it another 25.
It was worth a lot more in the 90s than it is now.
Yes.
It was. When I bought it, it was worth like $12.
Wow.
I mean, it was up to like 45 bucks was it 1998, 1996?
Back in those days, whenever a baseball card or a sports card shop opened up, you better hurry up and get in there and buy something because it was closed 30 days later.
That's right.
So, anyway, Ken Griffey Jr., he actually became the first Hall of Fame inductee that was the first overall pick in his draft. So he was the highest draft pick to be elected into the Hall of Fame.
But and, still not 100% unanimous.
Not 100% unanimous. What was it, 99.3?
Yeah, three people.
There was three of them that didn't.
People should get their voting rights removed.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But almost unanimous. He is the highest, 99.3. I think the previous was Tom Seaver at 98.3. So he finished.
Something wrong with these mics, man.
Finished his career with 630 home runs, 13 All-Star game selections, 10 Gold Gloves, and 7 Silver Slugger Awards, and just a great career. We were talking about earlier, if he would have been able to stay healthy, those injuries that he dealt with, who knows what he could have done. But congratulations to him. Almost unanimous. Piazza was the 1993 Rookie of the Year and finished his career with 427 home runs, 1,335 RBIs, and a career .308 batting average, which makes him literally one of the best hitting catchers of all time.
Was he better than Johnny Bench?
What
are you people? On dope?
Him and Johnny Boy are about the top of the list with Yogi. Yogi did pretty good,
I got
too.
Johnny Bench's rookie card.
Do you really?
Sure do.
It's fake. Is that $20?
It's not fake.
Is it worth $20?
I don't know how much the thing
is. If you look at it real close, it doesn't say tops, it says flops.
it's the Fleer flare.
both of them well-deserved, but let's bring up real quick who has yet to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Who has been on the ballot for at least 5 years.
Bo Jackson?
Tom Glavine?
Has not been inducted yet.
Tom Glavine's been inducted. He was inducted last year.
Just throwing it out.
Here's this. Ready?
Yeah.
Barry Bonds has not been elected to the Hall of Fame.
Juicer?
I think this was his fifth year on the ballot. Not elected. Roger Clemens? Not elected to the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose?
Pete Rose. And Mark McGwire.
All the guys
all
that
the
have
juicers.
Been accused
all
for
the big juicers who are getting
how about
left
Jose Canseco?
Out.
Druggies and betters.
Right.
Jose Canseco's not on there?
No, Jose, I don't think Jose's in either.
Yeah, he was accused of juicing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you would be able to be on the ballot for 15 years, but that's changed. You get 10 years now. And they're about halfway through that, these guys are. So, some messages being sent there for these guys that were accused and admitted to juicing up a little bit.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's a good message to send.
That's right. I agree. So,
would you have been as good as you are if you weren't juicing?
Maybe
you
not. Know,
would you?
I
have
mean, if you look, things? If you look, talk about rookie cards. If you look at Barry Bonds,
I'm a juicer.
If you look at Barry Bonds' rookie card,
I'm a coker right now.
If you look at Barry Bonds' rookie card and look at his baseball card when he retired, and he's doubled his in size. I mean, he's massive.
Oh, yeah.
But he was just a beanpole in his rookie card, man. He was he was a very small guy. But anyway, tonight,
I think Bobby Bonds was better than
as the wild card, football games get kicked off today.
No.
8:15 tonight between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. AJ, you know, we've talked about this before too, the Alabama quarterbacks and how lack of success they have in the NFL, right?
How about Bobby Bonilla?
Oh, Bobby Bo? The Bash Brothers? Was that the Bash Brothers? No, that was
still getting paid by the Pirates, by the way.
That's right.
Focus.
You know what I wish? I wish that Coca-Cola went back to its original recipe and put Coke in it. Sorry.
Silence.
Sorry.
Crickets.
Whatever. You know that was
totally funny. Did not land whatsoever. So AJ McCarron, you guys are just losing it here. AJ McCarron, you know, he was a quarterback at Alabama, right?
Yes. Yes, okay. I remember him. I remember him well.
Okay,
let's communicate.
Wow.
Let's make eye contact. Let's talk.
A.J. McCarron, who is the backup at Cincinnati, who will be starting.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
He's going to start. Andy Dalton's injured. And they're playing Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's their quarterback. So hopefully he has a little bit of success. Most Alabama quarterbacks don't in the NFL. But anyway, there's a little bit more history to those two. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he played his college ball at Miami of Ohio. And when Roethlisberger won the 2003 GMAC Bowl that was played in Mobile, which is McCarron's hometown, after the game was over, Roethlisberger gave the then 13-year-old McCarron a wristband as he left the field.
Oh, wow.
So McCarron said he doesn't know where the wristband is now, but he did tell Roethlisberger about it and after their two teams match up in Week 14. And Roethlisberger actually told McCarron that he remembered it. He remembered giving him the wristband, and they kind of had a laugh about it. But that kind of makes that matchup a little bit more interesting tonight as they play at 8:15.
Kind of like his hero.
And, yeah, you know, you looked up to him, and, you know, like you said, I never would have imagined I'd be playing, you know, in a playoff game against him, you know, against one of the greatest quarterbacks with two Super Bowl rings.
Well, he's an intelligent quarterback, too. So he's, you know, he's athletic, but he's intelligent. So most quarterbacks that come out of Alabama know how to manage a game. I'm hoping that he's going to have some success.
Well, he's started the last three or four games for Cincinnati, and he looks, you know, he's statistically has done, you know, fairly decent, but certainly not Andy Dalton, but has done pretty well, looks like. So, speaking of Alabama and the bowls, the bowl games finish up Monday night for the national championship.
Who you picking, Alabama? Who you picking? Who you pick, man?
I think Alabama's going to take it, man. I really do.
You think they can beat Clemson?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that first and foremost, we're SEC fans.
We
have to root for the SEC team.
And we're going to get to that too in just a second. But how many of the games, especially the playoff games, did you guys watch? Like sit down and actually watch the whole game?
I didn't get to sit down and watch Harley besides the Florida game.
You mean the Michigan game?
The Michigan game. I watched a good bit of that. But yeah, yes.
I'm sure you did.
Yes.
I couldn't stomach it.
I watched it.
I knew it was coming.
I was
but
cheering.
I still couldn't stomach it.
From Michigan.
So the games that took place on New Year's Day, the big matchups were terrible on a rating scale, relatively speaking, compared to last year. So, for instance, the Clemson-Oklahoma matchup saw a 45% drop from the 2014 Rose Bowl, which basically equates to 15.8 million viewers this year versus 28 million last year.
That's crazy.
So even though the 15 million is a lot, you know, it was almost half of what it was last year. And the Alabama-Michigan State matchup saw a 34% decline to 18.5 million. But the New Year's Day contract for the semifinals is signed and set for another 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the commissioner, the guy that sets all this up, said that he wasn't alarmed at all. He said he's not going to take that one sampling from this year and try to change things up and whatnot. He was going forward with it. So I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with the matchups. So if you notice, you look at some of these bowl games that happened even leading up to New Year's Day, a lot of them were lopsided, man. A lot of them were blowouts. Just ended up not being very good matchups at all.
Who was it that we were talking to the other day? And one of the points that was brought up was that, you know, the New Year's Eve matchup, you know, you have people are out on New Year's Eve. They're out and they're going to the bars, they're going to the sports places because they're not going to sit there and watch it in their houses. So obviously the same people that would sit there and watch it on New Year's Day and be at home with their families and watch it, they're out of the bars, they're out at all these different places watching the games on the TV, which is why the ratings were down significantly, I would think.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think if they were on New Year's Day, it would be much better. But we're going to pick that up and finish that up when we come back from the break. And we're also going to talk about each conference and how they did in the bowl games.
Cool. And you've been listening to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM WJBB.
This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.